The Offside Rule Euro Show with Kate Borsay, Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen. Brought to you by HTC. Official smartphone of the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League.
Hello and welcome to our first ever live audience. Hello everybody. Evening. You wide awake? Just about. It is our first ever HTC podcast. It is the Offside Rule Euro review of the group stages brought to you by HTC. And I'm pleased to say we have a very special guest with us tonight. Ray Parler is to my left. Hello, Ray.
Good evening, everyone. Hope you're well. I'm certainly in Arsenal land now. I'm very happy.
Very happy. And we've got our usual twosome as well, Kate Borsay and Hayley McQueen.
Hello.
Yes, welcome everyone. Hi.
We've been warming Ray back, well, yeah. Ray up, well, yeah. Backstage. Yeah. He's been reading some very interesting graffiti. We've also been teaching him some of our secret warm-up moves as well.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone here, because we're in the right part of North London, already knows this, but let's give you a little bit of an intro and back catalogue to Ray. So, former Arsenal midfielder, you can see my notes here as well, played for Arsenal for 14 years, part of the Invincibles squad, which is now celebrating 10-year anniversary. Any Arsenal fans in? How happy were you when Chelsea got beaten by Newcastle? Very happy indeed. Were you, Ray?
Yeah, without doubt. I was so pleased. I was doing a game for someone and they said, Newcastle 2-0 up. Yes, get in. And that last 10 minutes, though, was a bit, everybody was, well, Chelsea were all over Newcastle. And they held on in the end, so that was good.
You won pretty much everything, didn't you, with Arsenal?
Champions League, I think.
Champions League, apart from that. But you won the Cup Winners' Cup. In 1994. Runners-up a few times as well. So you were runners-up in the UEFA Cup, European Super Cup as well.
Hey, don't count, though. If you're runners-up,
that's no good. We'll concentrate on the three Premier League titles, four FA Cups, one League Cup. It's all pretty much there. So that's Ray Parler for you. We're going to have a bit more of a chat about European football in just a second. I will go through some housekeeping. So for anyone that's not aware, we have got a Twitter account, @OffsideRulePod. We also have a hashtag that you can use tonight, which is HTCPubcast. So if you're enjoying any parts of the show or you want to send a tweet out or a photo, please feel free to do so. We will have the videos on YouTube. We've got a channel, which is The Offside Rule TV. And we have a website as well, which is www.offsiderule-european.com, and off the back of all the group stages in the Champions League and Europa League, we've got some new articles up there, so make sure you check those out. We're going to start with our first topic, and the first topic today is all looking back on the group stages in both the Champions League and Europa League, and we're going to ask, and you should be aware as well of what our topics are, so we might come to you at some point, be ready. What's your favourite moment involving UK opposition and why, and who's been your favourite non-UK team to watch and why? We'll start with the first element, and as we always do on our podcasts, we'll start with Hayley McQueen.
My moment, actually, let's talk about the fans, and in particular, Everton fans. They're enjoying Europa League action this year. They finished top of their group. They'd already qualified and were storming through before that final game, and the fans travelling out to places like Germany, beating teams out there, but mainly fans that have travelled over as well. So see them going on this European run was really great, but the 2,388-mile journey that some fans made from Krasnodar, 14 of them, came to Merseyside, that's right, paid the flight, paid for their tickets, paid for the accommodation, took time off work, and Everton decided to let them all in to a particular suite and let them enjoy hospitality. Said, you're not just going to sit out there in the crowd with your tickets and go cold in Merseyside. We're going to bring into the Alex Young suite and really treat you there. As we know, particular games for Everton absolutely stormed it. Martinez said after the game as well, you know, celebrations for the fans, for sticking by us. We know there was a cancelled trip, wasn't there, at some point where they were supposed to go over to Russia themselves, but it was just getting a little bit too complicated. But they did take on Wolfsburg, who were doing really, really well out in Germany. They were under the cosh against them. They're doing really, really well in the Bundesliga, but showed tremendous resilience and character as well. So they went unbeaten in the Europa League Until, of course, that last game, but we'll just forget about that. But mine's just kind of a nod to the fans. I follow Middlesbrough, as Ray will know very well, who got to the final of when it was the UEFA Cup. And the Middlesbrough fans travelled every single match. And you have to remember as well, obviously, with these games like the Champions League being on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, you have to take 2 days off work. So big up to the fans who travelled on a Thursday or sometimes a Wednesday evening to go all the way there and took time off work as well on the Friday. So it's not a particular highlight for a UK team, but just highlighting the lengths that these fans actually go to go and watch their beloved clubs.
Now, I always think this is very loose women-esque. We're going to come to you next, Ray, for your answer. And you're the first guest we've had, certainly a male guest, to interact on our topic. So what would you go for as your favourite standout UK moment?
Certainly, I was very pleased that Arsenal obviously got through. At one stage, I thought they wasn't going to get through. I thought they made hard work of it. But certainly, UK-wise, it was definitely Manchester City. Coming back against Bayern Munich, 2-1 down, 5 minutes to go, and Sergio Aguero has been absolutely superb for them, getting them two goals. And that just set them up for that last game, Roma. And it was still a really tough game, going to Italy. And they managed to get the result they needed. So I think that game really sticks out in my mind. Because we want all the English sides to do well. We want them to go through to the next stages, which is great for English football. So I was hoping Liverpool would get through. I was hoping City. We all knew Chelsea would, because their group was very, very straightforward for their point of view. I think that City game really stuck in my mind. Because Bayern Munich are a top side. They really are. And Aguero's been one of the best players this year, certainly in the English Premier League and certainly in Europe. So that game really sticks out in my mind, because that just set them up for that last game. And they went on to win 2-0 in Rome to get them through to the next stages.
Now you can tell which one of us is the brave one of the three of us, because you're sat next to me and I'm going to say my favourite UK moment came from Spurs. So, uh-oh. But I am going for a plain showboater here. I loved this goal. Did anyone else just in awe just go, Eric Lamella, Rabona? We were actually at that game, weren't we, Kate?
We were there. And it was a real honour to be there, actually, wasn't it? It was really nice.
It was. It was the same night that Harry Kane scored a hat-trick. Mm. I thought it was going to be remembered for that at one point, but we didn't know. We were scratching our eyes going, did that really just happen?
I remember David Dunn when he done it, didn't he? He fell over halfway in midfield. But that was a great bit of skill, I must admit. In a game like that, I know, what was the score at the time? That's the big...
It was his first goal, so it was 2-0. Okay. Mm.
So, look, you can do it 4-0 up, 5-0 up, but if it was, 1-0, he's taken a big risk to do that.
Well, this brings my point, because isn't it a fine line between genius and stupidity in football? Because if he'd have tripped over and he could have made it 2-0, that would have been awful. But the fact that he scored that goal means that it's absolute genius. Viral video on YouTube, if you want to go and watch that, it's a really good goal. So I've picked that out. But I just wondered, as an audience, I know we haven't got many Spurs fans, but let's pretend for a second. Would you take, because since that goal, since that goal, he's gone on to score once more in the League Cup against Brighton. He's not got any more goals. He's not a striker that's in form. Would you trade that Rabona for 10 tap-ins? Would you? Yep, a few yeses there. Point made. Kate Borsay.
So, just to annoy things further for you, Ray, I'm going to talk Chelsea, actually, and the art of knocking them in. Oh, we've got a Chelsea fan out there.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Chelsea have scored an immense amount of goals in this Champions League group stages. In fact, they're the top scorers in the group stages. And it's just the pure elegance and intelligence, I have to say, behind some of the Chelsea players in knocking these goals in. The game that I want to kind of draw out of many of their successful results, finishing top of their group, of course. Match week 5, Chelsea versus Schalke. Chelsea 5-0 to them. What I loved about this game is it started right from the off. So you've got Terry's header on 86 seconds, which I think goes down as one of the fastest Champions League goals for Chelsea or something. There were numerous records broken on this particular night. And then the goals just kept going in. Willian's lovely, lovely setup for Willian, and his goal went in. And then the goals kept going in as well. There was an own goal from Schalke. But to do it against Schalke with Di Matteo, of course, the guy who took Chelsea to the Champions League final, which they won in 2012, I thought was a particular slice of irony. They were just so cool and so smooth. They were the kind of team who you wanted to represent the UK in the Champions League. You know, you're really proud, kind of, if you can bear with it, to be sort of proud of Chelsea. But I thought it was a fantastic game. Matic was really good as well. He was in that midfield, just a very intelligent passing, but just setting up that strike force perfectly.
We're going to move on because part of this topic one as well was looking at non-UK teams. We're going to whistle round. So we'll start with Hayley again. Your favourite non-UK team you've enjoyed watching and why?
Mine's kind of a really obvious one. It's a team I love following. It is the one and only Real Madrid. However, they didn't score the most goals in the group stages. As Kate will say, Chelsea was 17. Actually, Real Madrid with 16. However, they still managed to get through the group stages completely victorious in all six matches. It's just remarkable. We know they play sexy football. We know they have a few sexy players as well who play brilliant football. You've got James Rodriguez, Benzema, of course, Gareth Bale just slotting in perfectly with one of my favourites, Ronaldo as well. So they stormed through Group B, qualified with the plomb, 16 goals as I mentioned there, with just two conceded. So it's not just going forward where they're special, the defence, everything, I was going to say, just coming together for Real Madrid this season, but it just has been for so many seasons. And the fact that, you know, they're doing so well in La Liga as well, and they're top of there and 5 points ahead of Barcelona, they're still managing to keep things up in the Champions League as well. I can't see anyone beating them, and I have them down as my to win the tournament. We actually, a couple of seasons ago, mentioned one of our young players, ones to watch. We said Rafael Varane was definitely one to watch. I was really hoping that they would keep him at Real Madrid. He's played in the B team. There's a young guy at the moment, Alvaro Medran. He actually scored in their last game where they won 4-0. Really great youngster, can play at number 10, midfielder. He's really versatile. So that's kind of my tip of one to watch. I won't bore you with all the details of him right now.
Hayley, who would you rather have? Real Madrid front three or Barcelona? Neymar, Suarez, or Messi, and Ronaldo, Benzema, probably be up front with Bale, like, or James.
I can see why people would pick Barcelona, but I like the height of Real Madrid. They're strong, they're big, they're tall. These are footballing reasons, obviously, okay. Ray.
Who's got the best midfield? No.
It's a good
question. I'm gonna go probably the performance of the Champions League so far. I think Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich beating Roma away from home 7-1. To score seven goals away, I mean, I think they've got a complete team. Guardiola has been there and won big trophies with Barcelona. He knows exactly how to win the Champions League. I think they're very organised. They're very compact. When they win the ball back, they do it together in a group. He makes the wingers. If you look at Robin or Ribery when he plays on the left and right, how they work hard now. I didn't see that at Chelsea from Robin. But when he gets back into position, and that's all trained, and that's all done on a daily basis. I like their midfield, Schweinsteiger, Müller, different class. So I think Bayern Munich are a team that, probably one of the hardest groups as well, Manchester City, Roma, and CSK Moscow wasn't easy, especially on the plastic pitch away from home. So, you know, I think that they were unbelievable. They scored 16 goals, which is not as many as Chelsea, but certainly they're going to be there and thereabouts. And you know, I don't think no one wants them in the draw, I don't think, at the moment. So we have to wait and see on who gets who. But it's a situation where I think Bayern Munich are going to be very strong this year.
I'll be very quick with mine. I like an underdog. I do like an underdog. And also, since the 2013 Champions League campaign, where I followed Borussia Dortmund through to the final, went to the final at Wembley, thanks to Hayley McQueen, who sorted me out with the tickets. I got
totally
to do that publicly.
That,
thank you. It was a brilliant, brilliant final. And then to watch them in the Bundesliga. Now, we've got a couple of experts in our crowd. KP, who does our Eurobites, is a big Bundesliga fan. She's tweeting already about it. She loves Borussia Dortmund as well. We went to go and see the Arsenal-Borussia Dortmund game. And another reason why I fell more in love with them, have you seen the Borussia Dortmund fans? They do not stop. They don't. They're brilliant. They had two guys who go and they travel all over the world. They don't actually see a second of the action because they're facing the crowd, being a conductor, basically, to get them to be really loud. I just thought it was brilliant. At the very end of the match, it's not just the fans, it's the players as well. The players came over to the corner where we were in the Emirates and they came over and they applauded them. They came and shook everyone's hands along the front row. They're obviously really respectful. And I feel sorry for them as well because they're getting poached for players left, right and centre. Lewandowski went to Bayern Munich. There's our link between our two answers. And it looks like Marco Reus and Mats Hummels are going to be on their way. So they keep getting raided. Yeah, to Arsenal. So you guys...
Liverpool, I think you'll find. Yeah.
They're all going to argue about it now. But I just wanted to say that I thought Borussia Dortmund, they're still doing well in the Champions League. They're third from bottom now in the Bundesliga. I feel a bit sorry for them, but they're my team I like watching outside the UK.
It's such a contrast, isn't it, from their Champions League form to their league form to their Bundesliga form. I'm not surprised that their fans are in such good mood, because the Champions League is about all they've got to hang on to at the moment, isn't it? It's like, thank God we can restore pride in this competition. I've gone for a night of many goals. You've already mentioned one of the scorelines, Ray, in your answer. 8 games on this evening, Tuesday, 21st of October, set a record for the most number of goals with 8 games, 40 goals. And I was keeping across the matches on this night, and I just couldn't stop flicking between the channels and my phone as well, trying to check in with all the goals going in. An amazing night of action, just to refresh your memory.
Was that
on
your
this
HTC
one.
Phone, Kate?
It was my HTC phone. I had my football feed open. And my football feed was literally smoking. Like, there's so many goals going in, it could barely keep up, but it did. So, just to refresh a memory, Chelsea played Maribor, 6-0 to Chelsea. That Roma-Bayern score, of course, you mentioned Bayern, 7-1 to them. Biggest ever away win. Shakhtar played Bartek Borisov, 7...
Shakhtar have done so well.
Well, so has Luis Adriano as well, who... scored 5 in this game. So 7-0 to Shakhtar. Joint biggest away win for that one. There was the CSKA Moscow Man City game, 2-2 in that one. Barcelona 3-1 against Ajax. Schalke 4-3 against Sporting. An amazing night of action, I have to say, and a great one to keep across. And I'll certainly remember it. It's from match week 3.
Right, it's your turns now, because Sean Thorne, who usually does our Twitter topic of the week.
Yeah, we've got some tweets which have already come in. Aidan Linney. His favourite team from the foreign leagues, Ludo Goretz qualifying by putting a defender in goal and saving 2 penalties. Huge moment for them. Has anyone got anything they'd want to throw in for this topic?
I think one of the standout games was Anderlecht's comeback against Arsenal when they were 3-0 up. I think that was a great game as well. I don't think no one expected that.
Funnily enough, Ray omitted that one from his brain.
Anyone else got any shouts while they're there?
Hi, I'm Jackie. You stole my thunder a bit there, sorry. I think Ray will agree with this one. I was going to say, I think the 2 Arsenal performances against Anderlecht really showed the complete Jekyll and Hyde side of Arsenal, from one game being 1-0 down and then nicking 2 in injury time. We've not seen a smash and grab like that from Arsenal for a long time. That used to be our style, not anymore, but that I thought was real sort of old school. And then the complete capitulation from 3-0 to 3-3. I just thought basically the 2 games against Anderlecht sort of summed Arsenal up in a nutshell.
And we will be asking you for your opinions on topic 2. So if I set that up now, you can have a think, can't you? We want to know which players have stood out for you in the Champions League and Europa League. Which players and why? So if you could pick one from any team in the Champions League, any team in Europa League. We're going to start with Hayley once more. So this is topic 2.
Okay, I never thought I'd say this. And it's a Manchester United player, because he's out on loan at the moment. I had to get the Manchester United thing in, didn't I? It's Nani. He was absolutely rubbish for United, but he's on fire now. Something's happened. He's gone back home. He's found his form. He's feeling safe. He was part of that deal for Marcos Rojo when he came to United, and they sent him back there on loan. It looks like he is obviously going to be staying there for the foreseeable future. United's still paying his wages, and it's like he's had a point to prove. He's just completely shot. He's like a different player. I remember watching Manchester United against Barcelona. It was the second leg of the semi-final. I think it was 2008, and he got himself into a great little position, really good run, right in front of goal. And you just knew he wasn't ever going to score. It would end up in row Z. But he scored a goal against Maribor. But he got himself into a really good position. The defenders just didn't know what had hit him. This player, the defender literally on his backside. And he scored a fantastic goal. Not only that, he's had a great run in the Champions League so far. Looking at some of his stats, he scored 4 goals in the 5 matches that he's played. He set up 2 more as well and created 14 chances. That's from open play. It's the 3rd highest behind Messi and Benzema. I don't know what's happened to him. It's like he has gone back and had a point to prove, or maybe just playing in a side where he feels more comfortable, doesn't have to live up to the big names that were at Manchester United. What do you think, Ray?
No, definitely. I mean, I didn't. Every time I saw him play, he's sort of so inconsistent. One week he was unbelievable, 9 out of 10. The following week it's 4 out of 10. So I think consistency, he's got that going now in his game. He's got quality, there's no doubt. But whether the Premier League was a little bit tough for him, people could target him and tackle him a little bit harder. European football's totally different. So maybe that's why he's done so well. And plus, he might be enjoying living back where he comes from. Okay, I'm going to go for a very obvious choice, Lionel Messi. 8 goals so far at 6 games. I love watching him. I think he's a superb player, not just scoring goals, but off the ball, what he does for the team, why he sets chances up for other players. Him and Neymar really hit it off. I mean, I never thought Neymar would be this good as well. Coming to La Liga, we knew he was a good player. I watched him in Brazil, absolutely fantastic. But he's come into Spain and he seems to really enjoy playing alongside Messi. Now Suarez is there as well. So that front three for me are the best at the moment. But I just think that he's a player that he's getting better and better. He's still 27. He's still so young as well. You look at Ronaldo, he's 29 going on 30. So he's still got a couple of years on him as well. But I just think that he's a joy to watch. He's balanced. The way he goes past players and where he can quickly turn is amazing. And a player that everybody would pay lots of money to watch. So I just think he's, every single season he's so consistent. We can say, does he do it in big games? Well, I think he does. He scored a header in the Champions League final not so long ago. So, you know, he does do it in big games.
That makes me laugh, a header.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not his strong point, his header, is it? I mean, but he's the sort of player that you'd love to have in your team. He seems to, I always say the best players, they always pick the right option. Usually get 3 options as a top-class player, but you pick the right one on 90% of the occasions. And I think Messi is one of them sort of players, always picks the right. If he has to shoot, he shoots. If he needs to pass it sideways to set someone else up to score, he does the right option. So I think that's why he's stands out in front. And he's got 8 goals so far at 6 games. And I know he's not leading in goal score. I think the next guy has got 9, isn't he?
Yeah.
But they're all from open play, Lionel Messi's. I think he's got 2 or 3 penalties, isn't he? The guy from Shakhtar Donetsk. So that's why I'm going to go the obvious choice, Messi.
I'll go to Europa League then, and I'm going to go for a goalkeeper, because goalkeepers don't often very much get a mention, do they? Tim Howard for Everton. 29 saves he made in total. He matched a Europa League record, making 12 saves in one match, and that was against Wolfsburg, who are a really, really good side. So very much respect there. So Tim Howard for me on that one. Kate?
I'll go Champions League, Benzema. A much maligned player, actually. And I love watching Benzema. I've always really enjoyed watching him and following his career. But he's had such a patchy time of it. And it doesn't help that he's in this fantastic Real Madrid team when you've got such competition in that forward line. Ronaldo, Bale included. And, he's been at the club since 2009, but has never really become, for me, one of those Galactico greats. He's always just sitting kind of behind it. He's come into his own in this Champions League. 5 goals in 5 games. Very consistent. I really loved his goals against Liverpool as well. Now, I'm a Liverpool fan. That seems a bit wrong that I've said that.
But I
have to say, fair enough. 3-0 to Real Madrid. Benzema scoring 2 of those goals, and they were lovely as well. So, fair enough. Real Madrid set a record of 19 successive wins. So they obviously won against Ludogorets in this last match week. 19 successive wins for them. And you were talking about their pure domination earlier. And for me, Benzema's, you know, part of that. And from being sent to a weight loss clinic sort of back in 2011 to where he is now, I think he's come on. I just hope he gets recognised. And if he doesn't, I hope he gets a move to somewhere where he does get recognised. Because, you know, for me, he's teetering on being a great player, but just perhaps not given the opportunity, game in, game out for Real Madrid.
Europa League player for Hayley?
I've gone with a young English player. He made his debut as a teenager back in 2011 and was given a start while he came on for Harry Redknapp. But now Mauricio Pochettino has invested in young Harry Kane. We know after he made that debut back in 2011, he went out to Millwall on loan, didn't he? And really fought. He's a Tottenham fan, loves his club, desperate to play for them. And we were chatting about Lamela and that goal, of course. We'll all remember that game for that goal. But we can't forget that Kane scored a hat-trick, a brilliant hat-trick as well. And he took a turn in goal, didn't he? Lloris came off towards the end.
Not
they used
to be
up
mentioned.
All their subs. and kind of went in goal. But hey, he's brave for wanting to step up and do that as somebody. Naturally, it would be one of your defenders who would kind of nip back in goal. But he stepped up. He closes people down really well. He wins the ball. It's just, I think, really exciting prospect to watch for England and for Roy Hodgson. When we kind of do our podcast in the past and we've chatted about ones to watch who might be in, you know, World Cup squads in years to come. And I really just hope that they look after him there. The fact that he scored in both games against Cypriot opposition as well at Limassol in the playoff games to make sure that he was going to go on with this Europa League run is great.
And I think that the Europa League, I would imagine everyone would be in agreement, is where Harry Kane announced his arrival, really, didn't it? And now he's had first team starts under Pochettino, and I think he'll be a regular starter next season. Ray, you've got a Europa League player, and then I'll go to my Champions League one.
I've got one for Salzburg, who's been absolutely different cast. Red Bull Salzburg, who have been superb. A couple of the best players, to be fair, have been playing this year. Alan, who plays up front for him, he's got 9 goals. Superb the way he finishes, and his movement off the ball is really good. I'm sure big clubs will be looking at him during the January window if they can get hold of that sort of player like him. They've got another really good guy, Campiel, is it, on the right-hand side of midfield as well. So Salzburg have been a real revelation in this Europa League. It's been some great groups. I mentioned the Dynamo Zagreb, who didn't lose a game. Dynamo Moscow, sorry, who didn't lose a game, 6 wins. But certainly Alan, with his movement and his goals, Harry Kane's been excellent as well. I agree with Hayley on that one. But Alan, top goal scorer so far in the competition, looking very strong. One of them sort of sides that you didn't expect a lot, but really delivered in the group stages. And hopefully they can go on and go a long way.
What is it about this Austrian side? Because it's Red Bull Salzburg, but you know, Sadio Mane went to Southampton and he's been brilliant. There's Kevin Campbell, as you said, who's been great. Alan, it looks like they're getting raided and they're producing quite a few players now for us in England.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Gerard Houllier is to do with it. I mean, he's one of the directors behind the scenes that he runs all the Red Bull teams. So he's something to do with it, seeing the young talent maybe and getting the players into the side. But certainly these sort of teams, loads of managers will be looking at these sort of teams and saying, can we nick a few of their players, as Ronald Koeman did. Mane, he's going to be a top player. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing to see. And the Europa League's been a very good competition, and it's going to be really interesting now. Some really good teams going through, and this is where it really kicks on there.
Would you worry, though, maybe with like a Harry Kane, that the European teams, some of the bigger boys in there, would be looking to maybe take him to Europe? Doesn't happen very often with young English players.
Well, I don't think it'll happen yet. I think Harry Kane will stay at Spurs and establish his place in the team on a regular basis. At the moment, he's playing on a regular basis. I don't think they've got the formation right yet at Spurs, and they've got to get Eriksen in the game more. I think he's got to play just behind the front. Sometimes he pushes out on the left and right. I really like the youngsters. I totally agree with you. They're going to be getting better and better, but I still think they need a bit of experience in that central midfield area. They've got Mason and Bentaleb at the moment, but one of them can probably play. But I think you need someone alongside them, like what they had, Modric or something like that, who could really pass the ball through the lines. But Harry Kane, he's been brilliant, and he's a Tottenham fan, so I'm sure he'll want to stay at the club for a few seasons yet before, you know, maybe if he did move on.
So, Barcelona, Gerard Piqué, I wanted to go for. I thought...
Because of his jumper?
Yeah, probably because of his jumper. Did you see that? Amazing. I think he's been I think he's been the backbone of the Barcelona team. And I was just looking... I know that we don't want to bombard you too much with stats, but do you know he had a 99% passing rate, completion rate, for Barcelona? He completed 214 of 216 passes across 360 minutes of Champions League football. I think, take a bow, Gerard Piqué.
I'm going to highlight Raul Rusesco, who plays for Steaua Bucharest. He only played 147 minutes. He's my super sub, by the way. If you're ever looking for a super sub to come on for you, give Raul a call. Not that Raul, but this one, Rusesco. Played 4 games in the group stages, scored 5 times, didn't ever play a full game, by the way. I think one of the games he was only on for 8 minutes, the next one he was only on for 18 minutes. So a fantastic super sub, great positioning. He's your kind of ultimate goal poacher, I suppose, if you're looking for someone to come on for you. Perfect for super sub territory. I love the way as well, Steaua played Rio Avenue, which sounds like a dodgy clothing shop on the Woolworth Road, doesn't it? I love it. But Steaua played Rio Avenue, and last season,
season, Rusescu was playing over in Portugal and his side were knocked out by Rio Avenue from two competitions. So there was a bit of revenge to be had there. Now playing for Steaua Bucharest again, and he scored both goals in that game to reap his revenge. I like him. 26. I don't know whether he's going to go anywhere, but I like the fact that he's been used very well by his manager. And I think that's terrific. 5 goals in 147 minutes. Ain't bad.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to round that off with your thoughts and also thoughts from on Twitter. Sean?
Yeah, we got a few tweets in. Chris Wells. Make yourself known, Chris. There he is. He's loving the Spurs. Loving, even though Ray Parler's in the house. He's liking that. A lot of people agreeing with you, Hayley, as well, of Harry Kane being the standout performer. At Ad Loves Beer, he's loving Harry Kane. He sounds like a bloke who knows what he's chatting about. And also Sid, as well, we mentioned earlier, he also mentioned Harry Kane as well. Does anyone else want to throw in their thoughts for who they think's been the standout player? Kate Partridge, you look like you've got one on the edge of your tongue.
I'd go with Jonathan Soriano, actually. You're on about Red Bull. No Red Bull, actually. They can't use Red Bull in Europe, can they? They're not allowed to use their wings. They're wingless in Europe, according to advertising. So, yeah, for Salzburg, I'd say Jonathan Soriano. And did you know in 2014 he scored more goals than Cristiano Ronaldo?
There you go. Stat from the floor. Stat from the floor.
Wasn't he the top goal scorer last season in the Europa League?
Yeah, he's absolutely phenomenal, amazing, isn't he? And I think, apparently, judging by some of the latest reports, he's set his sights on Celtic.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much to HTC for their support this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod. Use the hashtag HTC Pubcast if you've enjoyed this show, and we'll be back with a Q&A which we'll release just in time for Christmas. Okay. You're a Christmas treat.
The Offside Rule Euro Show with Kate Borsay, Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen. Brought to you by HTC. Official smartphone of the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League.